What if humans aren't the crown jewel of creation, but simply a third species of chimpanzee? This unsettling question drives one of the most provocative examinations of human nature ever written. We like to imagine ourselves as fundamentally different from other animals, blessed with reason, morality, and divine purpose. Yet when scientists mixed human DNA with chimpanzee DNA in the 1970s and measured the genetic distance between us, they discovered something shocking. We share 98.4% of our genetic code with chimps. That's closer than many species we consider nearly identical. The gap between us and our primate cousins is smaller than the gap between different species of gibbons or songbirds. This revelation forces an uncomfortable reckoning. If a mere 1.6% genetic difference separates Shakespeare from a chimpanzee, what does that reveal about human uniqueness, our treatment of other species, and the biological roots of our most troubling behaviors? Billions of galaxies stretch across the universe, yet decades of scanning for alien signals have yielded nothing. This silence, known as Fermi's paradox, reveals something profound about intelligence itself. Consider the woodpecker. Despite its successful lifestyle, no other creature independently evolved woodpecking. The combination of chisel-like bill, shock-absorbing skull, and stiff tail braces appeared only once in Earth's history. If such a straightforward adaptation evolved just once, why expect radio building, infinitely more complex, to evolve repeatedly across the universe? On Earth, only one species among billions developed technology. Our closest relatives, chimps and bonobos, possess rudimentary intelligence, yet remain far less successful than rats or beetles. Perhaps most telling, the same intelligence that builds radios also creates nuclear weapons and environmental destruction. Any civilization advanced enough to contact us likely destroyed itself shortly after developing the capability. We may be alone not because intelligence is rare, but because it's self-limiting. On August 4, 1938, scientists discovered 50,000 Stone Age people living in New Guinea's Grand Valley with no knowledge of the outside world. This marked one of humanity's final first contacts, the end of our transformation from thousands of isolated societies into a globally connected species. The consequences devastated cultural diversity. Before contact, New Guinea villages displayed wildly different artistic styles, with some producing world-renowned wood carvings. After missionaries arrived, these traditions vanished. In one case, a missionary manipulated an isolated tribe into burning all their heathen artifacts. Traditional log drums gave way to guitars and boomboxes. While Europe has about 50 languages, tiny New Guinea has hundreds, many unrelated to any other known language. These vanishing societies offered alternative solutions to universal human problems, child-rearing, treatment of the elderly, social organization, that sometimes worked better than dominant cultures. With the last uncontacted groups disappearing in the early 21st century, we're witnessing the end of humanity's separate experiments in designing society. Though cultural convergence may be necessary for survival, we're losing a library of human possibilities that took millennia to develop. 5 centuries ago, Europeans didn't just encounter the Americas and Australia. They replaced their populations. The reason wasn't genetics or intelligence, but geography and domesticable species. By 4000 BC, Western Eurasians had domesticated the big five livestock: sheep, goats, pigs, cows, and horses. Success required animals that submit to dominance hierarchies, don't panic in captivity, and breed willingly under human control, explaining why American Indians couldn't domesticate bison or peccaries. Horses revolutionized warfare, helping Spanish conquistadors overthrow the Aztec and Inca empires despite being vastly outnumbered. The Americas once had native horses and many large mammals, but 80 to 90% went extinct around the time humans arrived. While Eurasian civilizations harnessed animal muscle power, American civilizations relied solely on human muscle. the Americas also lagged in agriculture. Corn's ancestor required thousands of years of selective breeding to become useful. Continental orientation profoundly affected how species spread. Eurasia's east-west axis allowed crops and livestock to spread across similar climates. The Americas' north-south axis created climate barriers, preventing llamas, alpacas, and potatoes from spreading beyond the Andes. Geography establishes the fundamental conditions for civilization. Genocide isn't modern, but a recurring pattern throughout history. British settlers in Tasmania systematically killed Aboriginal people, reducing the population from thousands to just 75 survivors by 1830. The last full Tasmanian died in 1876. Similar devastation occurred in mainland Australia, where Aboriginal populations dropped from 300,000 to 60,000 between 1788 and 1921. Murder appears across species when benefits outweigh risks. Our closest relatives, gorillas and chimpanzees, kill their own kind at rates matching humans. Jane Goodall documented one chimp band exterminating another between 1974 to 1977. Between 1950 and the 1990s, nearly 20 genocides occurred worldwide, with Bangladesh and Cambodia each claiming over a million victims. Like chimpanzees, humans evolved thinking in us versus them terms. Perpetrators justify genocide through three mechanisms: claiming self-defense, asserting superiority, and dehumanizing victims. Yet hope exists. Many diverse societies now coexist peacefully. International interventions have prevented some genocides, and modern communication blurs tribal distinctions. While once considered acceptable, international awareness now makes genocide harder to justify. Archaeological evidence demolishes the romantic notion of pre-industrial peoples living harmoniously with nature. Humans have systematically exterminated species and destroyed habitats for millennia. When Maoris reached New Zealand around 1000 AD, they hunted giant moas to extinction, collapsing half the island's bird species. Madagascar settlers eliminated elephant birds, giant tortoises, gorilla-sized lemurs, and hippos, species that survived millions of years until human arrival. Easter Island's famous statues mark ecological catastrophe. Polynesians deforested the entire island by 1500, triggering societal collapse into warfare and cannibalism. The Anasazi abandoned Chaco Canyon after deforestation caused devastating soil erosion. The shifting centers of ancient civilization, from the Middle East to Greece to Rome to Western Europe, likely reflect successive ecological collapses. The once lush Mediterranean became barren through deforestation and overgrazing. Ancient peoples lacked knowledge to prevent these disasters. Modern society possesses scientific understanding, yet continues whaling and rainforest destruction, making our era one of willful blindness rather than ignorance. Around 60,000 years ago, humans in Europe suddenly created art, musical instruments, and trade networks. This great leap forward, likely triggered by anatomical changes enabling complex language, freed human cultural development from the slow pace of genetic evolution. A tiny genetic shift transformed us from biology-bound creatures into beings capable of exponential cultural growth. Yet two destructive traits emerged alongside our ascent: mass violence and environmental destruction. We now possess nuclear weapons capable of overnight annihilation, while resource depletion, pollution, and habitat destruction accelerate. This generation is the first to question whether descendants will inherit a habitable planet. The extinction crisis is already here. At least 20% of bird species are endangered, with human-caused extinction rates 200 times above normal, an environmental holocaust unfolding now. Still, there's hope. Unlike other animals, we learn from distant experiences. Environmental awareness grows, population growth slows, and nuclear war seems less imminent. We don't need new technology, just wider application of existing solutions. Will we use our unique foresight to change course, or will the same abilities that elevated us also seal our fate?